hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a terrific Thursday today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's rainy up here in North Carolina. It's about 53 degrees, but it's not monsooning, so that's a good thing. So it rains a lot up here. I mean, a lot. I think it rains more here than it does in Florida. And I had no idea it'd be this wet of a summer, or March and April up here. So it's been interesting. But I want to start with a story. The other day I said something, just talking about it, something that Dave Hodges believed, about how Barbara Bush was the son or the daughter of Aleister Crowley. And I had a few people kind of ask me about that. And they said, what does that even mean? And I've done some more research on it. So I pulled up some information on it. So I'm going to kind of cover a little bit of this with you. But remember, guys, I'm just speculating here, and these other authors are speculating here, simply because we don't have DNA tie-ins of these people. But the Bush family matriarch basically died Tuesday at the age of 92. There's a theory that Barbara's biological father was a Satanist, and his name was Aleister Crowley. The theory holds that Barbara's mom, Pauline Pierce, who was born in 1896 and lived to be until 1949, was friends with Satanist Aleister Crowley, maybe more than friends. Pauline had a reputation of being a wild child, okay? Now, what was interesting is she and Aleister Crowley were in France together on September, October of 1924, and upon her return to America, she gave birth to Barbara Pierce, which is June the 8th. Now, that could have been his child because, they were together at that point. Now, I don't know. W Magazine once described Pauline Robinson as beautiful, fabulous, critical, and meddling, and a former beauty from Ohio with extravagant tastes. She was killed in 1949 in an automobile accident. Now, what's interesting about this, if you look at these two people and you do a side-by-side cutaway, their one face matches the other person's face pretty close. And it's kind of crazy when you look at the resemblance, how close this really is. Now, you say, why are you bringing this up, Ted? This is the news talk show. Well, here's why I'm bringing it up. These families are tied together in such a way that they're all linked deeply into the occult and to Satanism. Aleister Crowley was once called the most dangerous, the most sinister, the most evil man on the entire planet. So we have a situation here where this whole family may be tied in directly with Aleister Crowley. Now, whether that's true or not, it doesn't make a bit of difference. I'm sure nobody's going to exhume Aleister Crowley if he's even been buried, if he wasn't cremated or whatever they do with these Satanists. And quite frankly, Barbara Bush, I'm sure they're not going to exhume her. It's kind of like, everybody pretty much knows that Prince Harry, in the royal family with Prince Charles is Diana's son, but not Prince Harry's son. And basically, he's the son of the chauffeur who he looks identical to, but nobody ever wants to talk about all that weird stuff that's going on with the royal family. But I want to clarify why I've said that, why Dave Hodges believes that. And of course, we know that the Bushes are linked to Skull and Bones, and Skull and Bones is a satanic organization. We know that. And we also know that George Bush Sr., who's now also very, very ill, was deeply involved in the planning and the carrying out of the Kennedy assassination and 9/11, in the opinions of many, many, many authors and researchers, including my own. But I want to just kind of clarify that for everybody real quick, how the satanic tie-in, because we always say to you guys, everybody wants to blame everything on the Jews. These people aren't Jewish. They're Satanists. They're Luciferians. And that's what ties them together. Some people say that there are actually two separate divisions of Satanism. One basically is the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Frankists, the Khazarians, and the other is this group that's tied together through the Nazis, through secret societies, and they're both Luciferians. In fact, if you read the book, Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, he basically said that. There were two separate factions of Satanism that were fighting for world dominion, and of course, this outlines those two types of divisions, including the tie-in with the Masonic lodges. What do you think, Austin, or do you even care, and what's your first story?
Yeah, I mean, it's some bizarre stuff. I've heard all kinds of rumors back and forth with those guys. I mean, the aspect of it is pretty much everybody has to come to the conclusion now that to get in this level of power, you have to have some strings pulled. You have to do some favors. There's no question about it. When you get to this level of money and that level of power and you see these people that are legitimately untouchable, like pretty much the Bush family was, like pretty much the Clintons have been. All these guys across the board, they're involved in some pretty shady dealings behind the scenes. It's just, it is what it is, and it's sad that they have the ability to do this, and the best thing that we can do is simply call them out for what they are and what they're involved in. I saw an interesting article today, and I'm still double-checking to make sure it's accurate, but so far, Broward County Sheriff have vetted it and confirmed it. Remember 3 weeks ago, Dad brought up how the Broward County Sheriff Deputy Jason Fitzsimmons, who's 42 years old, basically in great shape, all of a sudden died at his house on the couch, essentially of natural causes, and he was very openly opposed to a lot of the gun control measures that were pushed after the Parkland shooting, and he did not go along with the mainstream narrative. He had questioned the whole gun control agenda from the beginning. He was just found dead on the couch. Nobody figured out what happened to him. Of course, hush-hush burial. Well, now Broward County Sheriff announced today that 53-year-old Marshall Peterson, who was a Broward County Sheriff and a 28-year-old veteran on the force, has now died at his residence. They haven't given any details out as far as how it happened, what happened. The only thing anybody confirmed is that essentially he lived at home and with his mom, who was like 70-something years old, and he was basically helping to take care of her. And 53, they're not saying if he had a heart attack. They're not saying any health issues. They're saying he was still in good shape and died at his residence basically at night. Exact same thing that happened to Jason Fitzsimmons. Are these two tied? I have no idea. I'm just telling you the news of what I'm seeing here. Do I find it always odd when situations occur like mass shootings and then people that are involved in them and then people are openly against them and are vocal about them all of a sudden start dying, like we saw after the Vegas shooting as well, where I think it was either, what, 5 or 6 individuals all across the state ended up dying, just randomly dying, either, you know, committing suicide, you know, or the ones that I always like when they say, yeah, he committed suicide, he shot himself in the back of the head twice. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Whoever signed off on that as a suicide needs to have their head checked, but whatever. And so again, I don't know, Deb, this is some weird stuff. Just wanted to, I'm going to vet it some more this week and keep looking into it, see if I can find anything else. But this is very, very common. Every time there's a mass shooting, people that are involved in it suddenly start dropping dead after the months after the shooting. So I just figured I would report on it and let you guys think about it.
Well, you know, Austin, we've talked about this many times. And that's why we ask you guys to continue to pray for our protection, you know, doing this talk show. I mean, we're out there doing stuff and talking about stuff that nobody else wants to talk about, which you see why now these guys are running their mouth, apparently. Maybe. I don't know. We have no idea why they died. And all of a sudden they're dropping dead like they were in Las Vegas. We saw the same thing with so many eyewitnesses to the 9/11 incident dropping dead. We see this all the time. When people run their mouth and start talking and actually get a little bit of media traction, suddenly they get extinguished. They depart the planet. We see this with natural doctors, naturopaths and natural MDs, homeopaths, who have been working on different cures, including autism. Suddenly they just drop dead, or they end up shooting themselves in the chest with a 12-gauge shotgun 5 times. I mean, you know, okay, that sounds nice. I mean, and they rule suicides. I mean, this is crazy stuff that's happened. In fact, a few years ago, I remember when Gonzalez and Bradsley were both murdered, I remember I reported on this on the Hagman Show on a special broadcast on a Saturday night, and it sketched me out pretty hard because, I mean, all these guys were dropping dead everywhere. And I remember we had millions of iTunes downloads, and then a whole bunch of other websites picked up the show, broke up the show into segments, ended up having millions and millions of views on YouTube, the show that I had done. And so what was crazy about all of this stuff, all I was doing was reporting the death of these guys and how it was awful strange that not all of the guys who had died, but several of the guys who had died had been involved in working on autism and cures for autism using a compound called GCMAF. And basically it's a macrophage activating molecule. And the sad part about all this stuff is that they don't want us healthy. Everybody's got to understand that. And let me give you an example. Again, we're in church last night. More people coming forward with cancer. I mean, this area up here in the rural areas of North Carolina and North Georgia, the primary food here is pork. You know, they love to eat their wild hog. They love to eat pork. I mean, everybody's got bacon cook-offs and pork cook-offs and barbecue cook-offs. I mean, stuff's going on constantly. And everybody's checking out their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s with cancer. And I did a seminar at the church the other night, and I told everybody, I said, you know, you got to think through what's going on here. I said, the globalist know there's no money in basically keeping you alive for 30 or 40 extra years, but there's a huge amount of money in you dying over a period of years, especially if you're doing chemotherapy or radiation, because they make so much more money. You're worth so much more as a giving unit to the whole problem that they have, to the whole global world they're trying to put together, the New World Order. And also, I want to say something. This is very, very important. You guys can quote me on this because I've never talked about this on the show before. I have a hard time praying for people and believing that God's going to heal them when their lifestyle is what caused the sickness. Let me explain to that. Now, don't get all mad at me. I'm going to tell you this because I'll pray for them and I'll believe God's going to heal them. But it's hard for me to have the faith to do that. And here's why. If a person's drinking 10 or 12 sodas a day and taking in over 100 teaspoons of sugar a day, and they've been diagnosed with adult onset diabetes, and they want God to heal them, but they want to continue drinking their 12 sodas a day. All those things don't work for me. In the Old Testament, there were very clear guidelines as far as dietary laws. This is in the Torah, books of Leviticus, and also in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, what happens is people don't want to pay attention to what the Bible says. You know, I'm not talking about the Babylonian Talmud and all that weird stuff and the Zohar. I'm talking about the Word of God, the Torah, the five books of Levitical law, the Pentateuch that was given to Moses for the children of Israel who were coming out of Egypt. That, I'm talking about the very book that was verbatim given to Moses, word by word, by God Almighty. That's what I'm talking about, the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, what's interesting about this is, and here's I'm going to say something that's going to, you got to think through it with me for a second. We've got so many people that are Christians, and maybe Jewish believers that actually follow the Torah, and they plead the promises of God to Abraham. They plead the promises of a cattle on a thousand hills, of a long life, of being in health. And indeed, God says to them in the Old Testament, if you do what I'm telling you to do today, I'm going to make you rich, basically, and you're going to be really healthy. And basically, you're going to be blessed beyond belief. It's what's going to happen to you. And then he says, but if you don't follow the word your God is giving you today, you're going to have all these curses, these diseases, these long and lingering diseases, these wasting diseases. And I would be referring to cancer and other types of diseases there. He says, you have all of these diseases come upon you. In other words, if you eat pork, you're going to have all of these diseases come upon you. If you don't eat pork, you're not going to have all these diseases. If you practice good ethics, you're going to be blessed. If you don't practice good ethics, you're not going to be blessed. In fact, I've got a CD series. That's not a CD series. It's an audio CD series. It's not a DVD. It's a CD series. It's called Maximum Success. And we still have those available in the office. There's a few left. It's called How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And what it does, it takes the principles of the Old Testament and it ties it together on why people aren't being blessed, why people aren't walking in divine health, why people are coming down with cancer and heart disease and diabetes all the time, and what they can do to change that. All of those things are included in that CD series called Maximum Success. I put it together for Rod Parsley many, many years ago, two decades ago. Now I'm going to say something. Now, I've said all that to say this, and you guys have to stay with me because you guys are my friends. Listen to me. You can't plead and beg for the promises and not practice the principles. Okay, did you get that? I'm going to say it again. You can't plead for the promises and not practice the principles. God's word is very clear about the principles that you need to follow in order to be blessed and what you need to do to be healthy. But you can't, as a Christian or any, as a Jew, you can't pretend like you can live however you want to live, break every single principle in God's word, and not come down with heart disease or diabetes and cancer. Now, will God still heal you? Absolutely, yes. I've seen miraculous healing time and time again. But the vast majority of the time, I've not seen it. The people come down with heart disease, they come down with cancer. The vast majority of the time, they either have surgery, they go the Rockefeller medical route, they end up coming down with heart disease, diabetes, cancer, they die from it. I've seen it over and over and over again. Now, here's the problem with all that. People get frustrated because they go forward and they get prayed for. They get worse, and then they die. The families get frustrated. They go forward, they get prayed for, they get worse, they get die. And occasionally, you'll have somebody who gets healed, or they'll respond to chemotherapy or radiation. Guys, think through this for a second. Why are we as Christians suffering the diseases of the damned when we have the Word of God to tell us not to do certain things? That we're not under a curse. We're not under the law, but we have principles in the Word that we need to follow. Say, well, are you saying we can't get to heaven if we eat pork? No, you can get to heaven, but you're probably going to get sick. The World Health Organization has said it's the number one cause of cancer globally. There's a really good article in the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Rechwig. It's called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. We have it posted on our website. Read through it. It talks about all the diseases that come from pork. You say, well, it's just pork. No, it's shellfish, too. It's lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, clams, pork. All of those things need to be avoided. You don't need also birds of prey like vultures and, you know, and scavenger birds. We're told not to eat those birds too. The stuff that eats a dead carrion. I mean, there are all kinds of things in the Old Testament that God told us not to eat. Why? Because they were put here for the ecosystem as scavenger feeders in many cases, or as apex predators to get rid of sick, diseased animals. But God doesn't want you eating these things. Like shark's not a clean meat. Catfish isn't a clean meat. So you have to understand that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It cannot be broken. It's kind of like the law of gravity. It doesn't make one bit of difference if I say to you as I stand at the edge of a 10-story building, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Watch this. I'm going to fly. And I'll fly for a few seconds. I will. You know, I'll fly. I'll be a big splat at the bottom. Guys, this is the problem that we have with Christians today. Our church, and I love our church up here. It's absolutely amazing. Great pastor. Great place to worship. I love the place. But it is loaded with cancer. And the sad part about it is, guys, we have to understand as Christians, we have to take in the entire counsel of God, not to put ourselves back under the law, because we're not. We're under grace by our faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament principles were God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the dietary laws, and the sanitary laws. When Christ came, it forever changed God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man. It never changed the sanitary laws. It never changed the dietary laws. You still don't need to be running raw sewage and, you know, pooping on the ground outside and, you know, and trying to drink water beside your poop stuff. You don't need to be doing stuff like that. You're going to get sick. That's what the Bible warns you about doing, and that's what we as Christians have to understand. If we continue to plead the promises and not practice the principles, we're going to constantly have these problems. I've had so many people say, well, I don't understand why you feel that way, because I don't feel that way. I think we can eat whatever we want to eat. You know, if I die, I die. My response is always this: eat what you want to eat. I'm not going to argue with you. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let he who has eyes to see, let him see. Read the last two chapters of Isaiah. God equates the eating of pork to eating of rats and other abominable filth. You can read it. That's what God says. Now, if you say, well, wow, that's really strong. Well, you think he changed his mind about that? God's not a flake. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not going to change what he said in the Old Testament, because we have refrigeration now in the New Testament. Always remember, there are certain foods we simply don't need to eat unless we simply want to suffer the diseases of the damned, the heart disease, the diabetes, the cancer, and all this other stuff. I just spoke to a man a moment ago. He's 48 years old. He looks like he's 70. White hair, white beard, looks old, old, old. Already had 5 stents. Unbelievably bad health. All kinds of health problems, all kinds of health issues. I tried to talk to him about diet. In one ear, out the other, done. I've learned over the years, you hear here to let the people who want to listen, listen. Those who don't want to listen, they don't listen. That's kind of the way I look at things now. Austin, what do you think?
That was really, really well said. That was one of the best things we've had on this show all week. You completely nailed it. And you're absolutely right about all of this, because, you know, and it goes back to the exact same analogy that you were talking about as far as stepping off, you know, a building and not believing in the law of gravity. You know, even when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he even took them to the top of the temple and said, you know, basically jump off. You can call on your angels. You won't even stub your toe. And he goes, thou shalt not test the Lord God Almighty. If God's already told us the things to eat and the things not to eat, why are we still turning around and testing him? And then when we get the consequences from our actions, we basically come back and say, how in the world did I get this? How in the world am I so sick? Why in the world is this happening to me? At the same time, we're not even following the dietary guidelines that he already gave us to follow. And it's like Dad said, God's not a flake. He doesn't go back and forth. There's no place in the Bible where he jumps around. He's like, well, this is okay, and this is all right, and this sexual immorality is all right, and this homosexual behavior, well, it's okay in some instances, but now, no, it's not. It's not okay anymore. He's never done that. You can read through the whole Bible. He's very, very consistent. If he says one thing, he means one thing, and that's one aspect that nobody understands, and for some reason, it's a difficult concept to grasp, even though it's so simple, is that the dietary and sanitary guidelines have never been changed. They've never been revoked. God's never turned around and said, oh yeah, well that's okay now. It's the New Testament. It's okay to eat rats. It's okay to eat vultures. It's okay to eat lobsters because I've changed my mind now and it's all okay. As we said, we're under grace now. We're not under the law, but that doesn't change the fact that we still need to eat the foods that we're designed to eat and not eat scavenger foods. I explained that to one of my friends the other day because they were asking me why I don't eat pork. You know, every time we go somewhere, sometimes I'll even go place and I'll order, like, you know, if there's like a big sandwich or something that I want, and I don't eat sandwiches very often, but I do, you know, it'd be something good and you'll see on the thing and it comes with bacon. And I'm very specific when I order. I say, do not put bacon on my sandwich. I want to order without bacon. And the waiter's usually like, okay, yeah, it's fine, I got it. And a lot of people go, you don't like bacon? I said, it's not that I don't like bacon. I said, I've tried bacon before. I said, it's not like that it doesn't taste good. I said, the problem is, I said, it's a scavenger animal. I said, hogs don't sweat. I've seen them out in the woods. I've shot them out in the woods. I've seen the carcasses. I try not to touch the carcasses because they're filthy. They wallow in the mud and in the filth to cool down. The reason why they don't sweat is because they store all those toxins, everything they eat. They're like one big giant filter. They filter out all the garbage they're eating, whether it's dead carcasses, whether it's diseases, whether it's rotting animals. It doesn't matter. Whether it's poop, it doesn't matter. They filter out the toxins. Same aspect with lobsters. Same aspect with cockroaches. They all have a very unique design, and we really need them for the ecosystem. If all of a sudden we said, okay, well, we're getting rid of vultures, hogs, lobsters, clams, mussels, rats, all those. We're exterminating them. We figured out a way to exterminate them. It wouldn't be beneficial for us. We'd start having a lot of issues with decomposing animals, with rotting, you know, wasting diseased animals, with feces everywhere. This is what these animals were designed to do, and that's why they were here. There's a reason why God said take seven of the clean animals and put them on the ark and take two of the unclean animals. Why? Because they took a male and a female hog. They didn't eat any of them. If they would have eaten any of the hogs, they wouldn't have been able to reproduce because they only had a male and a female. The clean animals, they took seven of them because they knew they need to slaughter them. It wasn't something back then where they were like, well, this is just, you know, this is what God's telling us to do, so we kind of have to follow it even though doesn't make sense. It made sense to them because they already knew even back then not to eat scavenger animals that lived off the carcasses and diseases and feces of other animals. It really just makes logical sense when you break it down. But the problem is Western civilization has gotten so comfortable at eating hogs and pigs and bacon and sausage and all this stuff on a regular basis that it's been ingrained, almost indoctrinated into us, that that's normal diet on a regular basis. And in my opinion, it is not normal. Nor is it healthy, nor is it going to be useful for long-term, you know, longevity. So that's my take on it. That's Dad's take on it. We're both very vocal about it, and that's our stance on it. Also, too, on
I want to add one thing. Austin's quoting from the book of Genesis, in which Noah was instructed to take one pair of unclean animal and seven pair of clean animals on the ark. Now, remember this. Mm. The book of Genesis was before the law was given. Okay, the law was given in Deuteronomy. So the law, we're talking Genesis chapter 6, we're back with the Nephilim. Okay, this goes way, 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 1,000 years probably before the law was ever given to Moses, probably 2,000 or 3,000 years actually. It goes way back, thousands of years. So before the law was given to Moses, God was already differentiating clean and unclean food. You got to think through that for a second. This was not part of the law. It was part of a principle that God had laid out thousands of years before the law was ever even given with what happened on the ark. People need to understand that. This isn't like, you know, something that's going to just change that God decided to change it. God is not a man, like I said earlier, that he should lie. He's not going to tell us one thing in the Old Testament and then change it in the New Testament. That's why it's so important that everybody understands. You can do what you want to do. We're under grace. It's not going to send you to hell. But I would much rather experience and walk in divine health every single day of my life by eating clean and taking supplements and exercise Ozzy, that have to undergo divine healing and be there asking God, please heal me because I've violated everything you told me to do. I'm dying of some horrible disease now. Now I want to continue eating the foods that caused the horrible disease, but I'm going to break all the principles that you have given me, but I want you to heal me now. See, it doesn't work. That's why I have a very difficult time in praying for somebody who doesn't want to change their lifestyle. Now, if they want to change their lifestyle and they want to believe that God's going to heal them and they want to do what they can as far as from a supplement standpoint, I am 100% in agreement that they're going to have a supernatural, miraculous healing. They're going to do everything they can do and God will do everything he can do. I believe that with all of my heart because you're in covenant with God. It's like my old German, my grandmother, remember, she's born like in the 1860s or whatever, 1870s. My mom's mom, she wrote a plaque that I have on my wall in my office. And it's in the old script of German. It says, Schrei leben stutzen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. And what that means is there's two fundamental principles of life, two pillars of life, two things that you can build your faith and your future on in life. Prayer, Gebet und Arbeit, work. You have to work and you got to pray. And you got to pray like it's all up to God and you got to work like it's all up to you. And that includes eating clean. You got to exercise, you got to eat clean, you got to prepare your food properly, you got to do all of this stuff. You can't allow the Rockefeller Medical Industrial Complex that's controlling through the Rothschild group to put you into their eugenics protocol, which is what the food is today with the glyphosate. It's the eugenics protocol to decrease your fertility, get rid of white people, get rid of Christian people, get rid of black people that are Christians or patriots, get rid of everybody they can and bring in third world country people into our country so they can bring in a mestizo race and basically eliminate all of us through eugenics and then turn around and kill 8 million, 7 million people, leave 500 million people left alive on the planet to be their slaves. That's the goal. That's the stated goal. This is what they want to do. So as far as I'm concerned, Austin, I'm going to say no. How about no? How about I don't want to do that? I'm going to eat as clean as I possibly clean every day of my life. I'm going to pray like it's all up to God. I'm going to work like it's all up to me. I'm in covenant with God Almighty, and I guarantee you we can all walk in divine health, and we can basically not have to deal with these diseases of the damned that are talked about in Exodus. Guys, it's so important that we understand the principles in the Word. And yes, I'm done now, Austin. What's your next story?
that's excellent. I'm glad you clarified that. I should have elaborated more as far as yet. Oh, in the ark, and that had nothing to do at all with the law that was given to Moses. So I'm glad you clarified that. Yeah, that's because a lot of people forget that whole concept with the ark with 7 and 2. A lot of people don't think about that. It's very clear about it. But the problem is everybody wants to kind of skip over that part and say, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. That doesn't make any sense. It makes very, very detailed sense when you understand what's going on. Also, too, though, another study on turmeric, because I feel like this stuff comes out more and more and more. Study led by scientists from Tufts University in Massachusetts and Tohoku University in Japan show that curcumin, which is turmeric, has a profound effect on weight loss efforts. What they did was they took rats and basically fed all of them a high-fat diet for 23 weeks. After that initial fattening phase, they took multiple different groups and broke them up. And one of the groups, they basically had them on calorie restriction, open high-fat, turmeric as well. And the group that was given the curcumin supplement, the final group, basically they found that the curcumin supported and increased fat loss, but that's not all. They also found that consuming that helped reduce the presence of inflammatory cytokines, even in the mice still being fed a high-fat diet.
There you go.
So what they're saying is even though they fattened up all the mice to begin with, even the mice that stayed on the high-fat diet, when they were given curcumin, it still helped them not gain as much weight, and also to reduce the inflammation in the body. This is why I tell people all the time, this is such an important nutrient for inflammation in the body. And I didn't even know it helped burn fat. I mean, it was granted as a mice study, so I don't know how effective it would be, in grown adults. But I have a feeling if you're eating pretty good and you're, keeping your diet clean and you're doing cardio and you're exercising and you throw in some of the turmeric force, there's no way that it's going to hurt you whatsoever as far as burning body fat. And at the very least, It's going to help with reducing inflammation in the body, which, of course, when inflammation comes down, that also means that you can get cortisol down, which means you can normally get body fat down. So that's a pretty interesting study, again, about curcumin and turmeric, Dad. And so every time I turn around, product's great. That's why I take it every day. I take at least 2 to 4 of them a day just on a regular basis. And the fact that it's extremely good for the heart as well. That's another reason why I like it a lot.
One of the best anti-inflammatory compounds you could take for rheumatoid arthritis and for all of these inflammation diseases like lupus, et cetera, also for skin itching disorders. If you stack the turmeric with the black seed oil and the D3K2, it's amazing what it'll do as far as getting rid of itching anything. It's just amazing because it gives your body what it needs to get rid of it. Pretty much black seed oil is a cure for everything but death anyhow, as far as I've read. And so that stuff tastes it tastes awful. I took it last night. I'm out of pomegranate juice, and I usually cut it with my pomegranate juice. And the last night, I just took about a big swig of black seed oil. I looked at Sharon, and I said, I had forgotten how bad this stuff is. This is awful. Yeah, but it does what it's supposed to do. It works absolutely great. Now, let's talk about the Amish real quick. They don't get vaccinated. They very rarely ever get sick. They don't have any incidence of autism that's even on record, or cancer or heart disease. I mean, is that a coincidence? I don't know. Not at all. Pediatricians in America are not allowed to question vaccines at all, nor are they allowed to recommend less than the CDC recommends, or they face the wrath of the AMA, the infamous American Medical Association, created through the Rockefeller medical complex through the Rothschilds. That finds a way to shut down the contenders, basically even taking away their license to practice medicine if they decide not to vaccinate. Nary is a case of autism in the Amish communities in America. For starters, children are not born with autism. Fact. It appears during infancy or childhood and is brought on by an overload of neurotoxins, either consumed, injected, or ingested from environmental factors, all of the above, and factor in recent autism spectrum disorder spike over the last 2 decades. The USA directly coincides with the vaccine schedule increase. Now, here's what I believe is really causing most of this autism. It's basically the glyphosate that's been sprayed on almost everything now that we eat, and the immunizations, which are given all of these children containing all of these neurotoxins, in a combination of what it does to gut bacteria, and it basically wrecks the immune system. It wrecks the macrophages, the white blood cells, and these kids end up with these cytokine storms, end up with these brain inflammation problems. All of these things are tied together with the immunizations and with the glyphosate. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Wrote a book on it 20 years ago. And basically laid all of this stuff out, but maybe not in quite as much detail with the glyphosate 20 years ago. Dr. Stephanie Seth, MIT PhD, basically says that by the year 2025, because of glyphosate, primarily she feels, that we're going to have 50% of the children in the country basically stricken with autism. Now guys, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but all I know is this. It's bad now. About 1 in 40 kids have autism. It used to be 1 in 10,000. Some people say 1 in 100,000, 50, 60, 100 years ago. The reality is doctors used to come from long distance to see a child with autism because it was so rare. Now, it's everywhere now. I mean, everywhere. So, guys, please think through what you're doing with the kids and think through the fact that the Amish don't get heart disease. The Amish don't get diabetes. The Amish don't get autism. They don't immunize their kids. They don't use glyphosate or Roundup. Think through that and just say, well, wow, that's kind of interesting. Well, it's kind of like this. If you want to be healthy, you might want to kind of consider that kind of lifestyle and not do the things that the Amish don't do. What do you think, Oz?
I think you're absolutely right. Another thing Amish don't have to do either is it's been ruled in court. They don't pay into Social Security either. They got to opt out of that from the beginning because they said they didn't feel like they should be required to give the government their hard-earned money so the government could supposedly save it for them when in turn they already knew it was going to be squandered. Well, you know, they were actually really ahead of the curve on that one and pulled that one off pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, and a lot of people don't realize that until you do the research. That, I mean, all that stuff Dad just mentioned with the Amish, it really, I mean, it is minimal at best, and they don't do a lot of the mainstream stuff that Western societies do with all this. So question it, research it, look at it, figure out what you want to do, and make your own decisions. Also, too, this is another study that's being done that should have been done years ago, but they still, of course, because the sugar industry and the soda industry is so prevalent and makes so much money, they have gotten away from this. Now, a National Institute of Health is spending over $150,000 to try to get warning labels added to soda. They said they're conducting a study that's going to test warning labels that are found on cigarettes and basically put them on soda cans. They said the prevalence of adolescent and adult obesity is higher than it has ever been before in the U.S., driving the population risk of diabetes and cardiovascular disease through the roof. Robust evidence indicates that consuming sugar, sweetened beverages increase the risk of obesity. Also, too, as we talked about yesterday on the show, drinking non-sugar sweetened, including aspartame and sucralose sweetened sugar beverages, can actually cause diabetes and lead to other health problems as far as obesity as well. They don't want to address that. But also, too, it said although the Centers for Disease Control and National Academy of Medicine have called for a broad action to reduce this consumption, little is known on how it will affect the age group that consumes the largest amount, older adolescents and young adults. So they're going to start looking at basically coming out with warning labels to put on soda. And this kind of goes back to the same thing I talked to you guys about the other day with the Proposition 65 in California, with glyphosate finally being added to that list. It's kind of like a dollar short and a day late. This is something that should have been done years and years and years ago. It's almost a joke that now they're actually going to do it in California. And of course, it's going through when the majority of people out there don't even bother to look or notice anything, because Proposition 65 covers almost 1,000 different compounds, including like an aloe vera extract, which I told you guys about that yesterday. This same thing now. People are so hooked on sodas and people are so used to buying sodas, it's not probably going to affect them one bit to look at a warning on the side of the soda. However, I personally want to see this actually happen, because the sugar manufacturers and Monsanto and the soda companies like Coca-Cola and PepsiCo, they make a lot of money, which means they have a lot of money to spend fighting this stuff, and they are going to do anything they can to prevent their products from being labeled a health concern, which they should have been done a long time ago. So we'll see if this actually ever goes into fruition, Dad.
Well, you know, Austin, the whole thing with glyphosate, and I'll be honest with you, I'm so tired of talking about glyphosate that the only reason I even talk about it anymore is because of the new listeners, because I'm over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a bad product. It's absolutely awful. By the way, Brad sent me a really interesting article in, and it's a billing about the Senate panel. The Senate panel actually approved a bill to protect Special Counsel Mueller. And he said, Ted, this bill protecting Mueller from firing is totally unconstitutional. The DOJ and FBI fall under the jurisdiction of the executive branch. The special prosecutor is working for the DOJ, which is under Trump. The president can nominate to all these positions, and with Senate approval, he may fire them without any cause at any time for any reason. Now, what's happened here? To prevent Trump from firing him. Guys, this has never been done before. The Senate Judiciary Committee approved legislation on Thursday to protect Special Counsel Robert Mueller. It's a 14-7 vote. The panel approved the bipartisan proposal that deeply divided Republicans on the committee. With every Democrat backing the legislation, only one Republican was needed to secure passage. In the end, four Republicans, Tom Natillis, gay boy Lindsey Graham, Chuck Grassley, weirdo, and Jeff Flake, no surprise with the name, from Arizona, decided to protect Mueller. Republican Senator Orrin Hatch, Mike Lee, John Quorum, Mike Crapo, Ben Sasse, John Kennedy, and Ted Cruz opposed legislation to protect Mueller. The vote marks the first time Congress has advanced legislation to formally protect Mueller from being fired by President Trump. And I said this 6 months ago, that Trump should have fired Mueller. Now they're basically getting in behind him, this other little satanic group that want Trump out. Trump has rallied against Mueller multiple times and actually talked in private of dismissing him. The bill, sponsored by Graham, of course it is, would codify the Department of Justice regulations that say only a senior Department of Justice official can fire Mueller or another special counsel. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. They loathe Trump. They wanted their witch of Benghazi, basically the wicked witch of the West in California with her occult meetings and her witchcraft. They wanted her so badly to be president, Austin, so their little Satan group could run things. What an unbelievable mess that the Republican Party has fractured itself like this and not willing to protect the incumbent president. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is. It's gotten so crazy as far as the blatant level of disdain that these guys have. And it's exactly what you just said, is Hillary was supposed to be in there. She she was already, they already had her prepped, they already knew what to do, they already had her agenda set up, they were already planning on doing all this stuff. And I mean, can you imagine if she got in there and we started having these false flag shootings like we've seen, and what she would start pulling?
God.
I mean, granted, a lot of the stuff that Trump has done, I still haven't been huge supportive of, but she already, before she even was running heavy as the candidate, she already said, oh no, we need a full assault weapons ban, we need magazine ban, we need basically a national confiscation order, so to speak, and all this stuff needs to be taken away right now. So, I mean, we already know where it would have headed with her, and these guys are still so bent out of shape that they don't have that satanic witch in the White House, because they knew she was literally going to be the spearhead for their globalist New World Order agenda. That's what they wanted. I mean, they have, and this is what I talked to somebody about again the other day, the same thing with this whole Cal exit thing where they're talking about, you know, California seceding. This is the start, because they have to break up the country. And so it's hard to break up the country while you have the president saying, let's make America great again. You know, it's hard to do that and go back and forth. And so they needed somebody that was going to be in Washington that was going to support all this unbelievably weird leftist liberal ideology, and they simply don't have it. They simply don't have it. And also, too, this is an interesting article that I found out today by where was the article on here? I have to pull it up again. It was, I think, by Dr. Radin. It was going on here, and it said, the article of it said, it was pre-cog crime fighting, the AI approach versus basically pre-recognition crime fighting. And it talked about the movie Minority Report. As you guys already know, that's pretty much their goal to start doing here. But now they said that an Israeli tech company named Cortica has now recently partnered with the Indian company Best Group in order to analyze the terabytes of data streaming from all CCTV cameras in public places. They said the goal is to improve the safety of public areas by preventing violent crimes such as sexual assault by way of looking at behavioral, basically, oddities that would allegedly signal when someone is about to commit violence against another person. They said the software is based on the type of military and government security screening systems that is used to identify terrorists by monitoring people in real time, looking for so-called micro expressions, minuscule twitches or mannerisms that can belie a person's nefarious intentions. Such telltale signs are so small that they can elude any experienced detective, but not the unblinking eye of the AI.
There you go.
So this is something. This is weird, guys. And this stuff, you know, the more you talk about it, you know, years and years and years ago, especially when Minority Report came out, I think the movie came out in like 2000, 2002 or something, and a lot of people are like, oh, that's a really crazy science fiction film. Guys, that's what they wanted to do. They want this in here, so to speak. Maybe not that exact plot scenario, but they want to have the ability to come in and say, we're going to arrest you because you're about to commit a crime in 10 minutes, and we're basically arresting you for the premeditated murder of so-and-so, like in the movie. And all of a sudden they're like, I didn't even do anything yet. Doesn't matter. We know you're about to do it, so arresting you. This will be used regardless if they have actual factual intelligence, if the actual AI is truly figuring this out. It doesn't matter. Think how this can be used from a totalitarian manner to start arresting and putting away any type of dissidents. They can sit there and say, well, we know you're about to try to overthrow a plot on the United States government. You go, no, I'm not. I'm not trying to do that at all. Well, yeah, you're really strong right wing, and you own firearms, and you have ammunition, and you have stored food, and we know what you're about to do because we've watched it, and the AI told us what you're about to do.
That's
I didn't do anything. I'm not planning on doing anything. Doesn't matter. AI said you did it. You're going to do it. You're being arrested now. You're basically being charged as a traitor, as a terrorist. And you're going, but I didn't do anything yet. Doesn't matter. AI said so. You go to jail now. That's pretty much what they're talking about in this aspect. Granted, they're trying to use it on a smaller scale with CCTVs on people that are about to commit maybe a violent crime against somebody, as they're talking about here, with micro expressions. However, where do you think this is going to stop, guys? Do you think this is going to be something that just they kind of stop it right here? Oh, well, this is the line. We can't really take it past this. This is going to continually go further and further and further into what I just talked about, where you already see we have the thought crime now. You already see that, where it's like it's a crime to think something or to say something that somebody disagrees with now. Where is this going to stop? Because we've seen things escalate rapidly in the last 20 years with thought crime and being able to think what you say, what you think, being online, being able to talk about something that's really going on. Look at Europe. Look at Sweden. I mean, in Germany now, if you talk about the migrant crisis, they come to your door and interrogate you, ask you why you're basically a racist, ask you if you have any ill intent towards Muslims, ask you if you're about to commit a violent crime towards a Muslim. And you're like, no, I'm talking about them running through the streets, throwing hand grenades and lighting vehicles on fire last night in my neighborhood. No, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that. That means that you're about to commit a violent crime. No, I'm talking about the violent crimes they're committing. No. Now you're just trying to mince words here. You know what you're doing, and you have to stop it. You can't talk about this on social media. That's what they're already doing right now, guys, in reality. Think what's going to happen when they start getting this AI further and further down the road, Dad. It gets quite creepy when you start reading some of the stuff they're coming out with now.
It's all creepy, but I mean, it's all time. Now they're keeping pigs' brains alive for up to 48 hours after the pigs have had their heads cut off. I mean, it's just crazy. They're doing everything they can. But here's what they don't get. Here's what they don't get. Number one, our spirit that's from God that lives within us, it encompasses our entire body, around our body, in an interdimensional interface with God. We talked about this yesterday. Yesterday's show, you got to listen to yesterday's show. And so what happens is, even if you take a brain that's been disconnected from the body, the spirit is Ichabod. It's gone. So they're trying to keep their brains alive and transfer their memories into a robot to live forever, but the spirit's still gone. They don't get that. So they're trying everything they can from a transhuman standpoint to be Borg melded into a robot, into a machine, into a cyborg, so they can, quote, live forever. But they don't live forever. Their spirit still departs when they die. I mean, it's been shown over and over again. So they don't know how to fix that. They don't know how to correct that. That's why these guys are all running scared, because there's no way they can do that, because the power of life, the power of that spirit, is from God Almighty. Lucifer can't duplicate that. It's nonsense. By the way, Germany's migrant crisis delusions. This is nuts. A report commissioned by the German government found that the newly arrived asylum seekers that were behind more than 90% of the crime in Germany basically are not working. As of December 2017, an estimated 600,000 of these Muslim gang-raping barbarians are on the welfare dole in Germany. Meanwhile, poverty in Germany, especially among elderly pensioners, people who are basically retired, has reached a historic high. Now, this is what's really going on. The economicist attributes this change to Chancellor Merkel's migrant policy. The biggest change comes from Mr. Merkel's open-door policy towards refugees, which brought in millions of new migrants. The magazine celebrates this sudden outburst of diversity as it transforms the once homogenous Germany. Oh, yeah, they've been transformed. And claims that the gang-raping migrant hordes, and it claims that the patriarchal culture has become more gender-balanced. No way Muslims don't treat women with a hoot. No way it's going to get gender-balanced. The Economist also advocates the urgent necessity of open-door policy for refugees and alleges the flow of newcomers to Germany will cushion the demographic crunch. I mean, these guys are living in a fantasy world who write this stuff, saying how great it is that we have gang-raping barbarian hordes running around Germany, destroying the entire country economically. Oh, it's really good for us that they're doing this. I mean, what is wrong with you? Why do these people think this? Again, the Bible says a veil has been placed around the minds of the unbeliever so they cannot believe and see and know the truth. And this energy field around the planet that Aleister Crowley and apparently some of these other weirdos like to try to reinforce constantly with their negative things that they do as far as in their sacrificial rituals, it causes this energy field to continue to blind the minds of the unbeliever. Because remember what the Bible says. It says the God of this world basically has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. It says that. Now, it also says, had the God of this world known what he was doing, when he crucified the Son of Glory, he never would have done that. Why? Because he never understood the plan of salvation. And by the way, guys, I'm going to throw a little tidbit in. We're almost out of time on this show. Discuss this in detail later. That's one of the reasons that they're trying to open up time portals on CERN. Just thought I'd mention that. But God will never allow that to happen, because in their fantasy world that they live in, this delusional mindset that they have, they want to go back and undo the cross. I'm letting you know that. That's what they're doing. That's one of the primary reasons that they're trying to open up time portals. The problem is, God is the only being that's omnipresent, and it ain't going to happen. So I hate to tell the bunch of weirdos, wackos, weirdos who support gang-raping barbarian hordes, it isn't going to happen, and it's not going to happen on my watch as long as I have breath in my lungs. We are never going to bow to the mark of the beast, and we are never going to bow down to Baal. We're always going to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're going to continue to proclaim His greatness and His glories all the days of my life, Austin. That's how I feel. What's your next story? What do you think?
Absolutely, man. No, we talked about that in detail before. I mean, that is one of the most controversial topics, but it also makes the most sense when you start understanding the details of what CERN is and what they're trying to do with it and open up these time-space portals and go around. What else do they possibly want to do to go back in time? I mean, they've already got their control of the United States. They've already figured out all these other ways to manipulate the currencies, to kill people with the wars, with the genocide, with the countries that disarm the population. They've already figured out what else is there to do right now. They're already on their track to going what they want to do. However, the one thing they hate, as we're seeing right now, guys, is still the Word of God. And it's true today, the same as it was back then, as it is will be in another 1,000 years. And the issue is, we've seen this now, California pushing this bill to essentially try to ban Bible studies. And of course, people on the left are like, oh no, that's not what we want to do with it. We don't want to do any of that. We're just trying to save people that are transgender from having to be exposed to that type of rhetoric. No, that's exactly what they're trying to do. There's already been multiple people now that have said, yes, that's the whole premise of the bill. Regardless if it goes through, regardless if it actually gets passed, they're still going to keep pushing this. I mean, we've had GQ Magazine, all the top editors of GQ Magazine just do an article, as I told you guys the other day, the top books to never read in your lifetime, and they put Bible at squarely number 12. This is their agenda. They want to program the world into believing the lie that Satan has told them. I mean, think about it. If they can ban the books and they can ban the Bible, then they come in and ban the Second Amendment, which they've already been trying to do, ban us from being able to defend ourselves. Then they ban the First Amendment, don't allow us to have free speech. What else is there left? What else do you think you're possibly going to be able to do without them putting a boot print on your face? Quite frankly, I mean, think about it. You have no Bible, you have no guns, you have no free speech. That's it. They own you, and they do whatever they want whenever they want to do it. That's why they are so adamantly opposed about those three things in unison. The left hates those when it comes down to it, and you actually start digging down and talking to the people that are pushing this agenda. So you're absolutely right about this, Dad. It's a full-blown fight against the Bible and the Word of God and what Jesus did on the cross. They can't stand that aspect.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, some not so surprising news with Megyn Kelly. Apparently, her the $69 million contract that they bet on Megyn Kelly basically has completely backfired on NBC as their viewers have vanished. Now, I laugh about this because I really, really, really dislike Megyn Kelly. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, she's a beautiful woman. She's stunningly beautiful. And she's an attorney. She's smart. The problem is, she's got no common sense. I mean, you know, she had a huge base on Fox News. A huge base. She's one of the pretty Fox girls. But she couldn't do it. She couldn't support a Republican president like Donald Trump. She had to go in there and start that whole Trump bashing from the very first debate and completely made a fool out of herself. And as my opinion goes, she has completely and totally wrecked her career. And then she went to one of the most liberal stations in America. Why in the world does she think the people who watch NBC, one of the most liberal stations in America, were suddenly going to turn in to see her, a former conservative Fox commentator? And NBC making that mistake blows my mind. Unless, here we go, this is my speculation, my opinion. Les, this was an inside deal for the $69 million for her to do what she did to Trump at the very beginning because she needs to be getting a job with NBC. There you go. You get a huge salary boost. All she has to do is hammer Trump into the base to try to prevent him from being put on the ticket for the White House. How about that? Let's think through that. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Doesn't matter. All I know is this. Her career is toast. She might as well just go ahead and take the butter and toast it and just throw it away because it's over with, bud. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty much. But you're right, though. That is possible. They may have told her that. Listen, we need you to do this. We'll offer you a very, very lucrative contract on the backside after pretty much your career is done with Fox. And you need to do everything you can to completely and totally bash this guy because we don't need him running. And you never know. You don't know what they offer. They may have offered $10, $20, $30 million. And she said, okay, let's do it. So, I mean, there's no question about it. But that's definitely a very interesting concept of that.
Oh, no. By the way, woman is shot dead after money is flaunted on social media. I thought I'd mention this one to you guys. Police said an Illinois woman was gunned down in a home invasion after one of the residents flaunted cash they had earned in a personal injury settlement on social media. Apparently, one of the renters in his house decided he was going to go on social media, take a big picture of the check he had cashed with a bunch of $100 bills. Somebody, and by the way, everybody knew where he lived, and so somebody decided to come over and relieve him of his cash settlement from the lawsuit. So there you go. So guys, do yourself a favor. This is really, I don't even know how to say this. If you get a new color TV or whatever you got, you know, boy, but I tell you what, I just showed my age, didn't I, Austin? If you get a new color TV, how about a new plasma TV? Nope, that's over. How about you get an 85-inch, you know, digital TV or, you know, LED TV or whatever you get, and you decide to show it to everybody on Facebook and say, here it is, and here's my address. I love you guys so much. Come on by anytime, check out this TV, and they'll come by and check out your TV while you're not there. Guys, don't do that. Don't be giving your personal information out on Facebook. I mean, number one, you don't want low-life Zuckerberg to get anything from you. He's going to sell all the information. So, guys, just do yourself a favor. Keep that stuff tight. Don't talk about it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Enjoyed the show today. I always love talking about scriptural nutrition. You guys are awesome. I had the privilege of praying for you again this morning, and I'm going to tell you that all the time because you guys are my friends. And it means so much to me that you guys continue to support Health Masters, that you get your vitamins from us, that you pray for us, and that you just support us, and you listen to the show, and you tell your friends about it, and we have more listeners all the time. Guys, thank you. I love you guys. Again, thank you for your support. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. It means so much to us. Also, go ahead and close it up, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and I've heard of that happening too, where people put on their Facebook, you know, they're going out of town, they're like, oh, we love everybody, we're going to the mountains for 2 weeks, blah, 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 and all of a sudden they come home and they found out their house was burglarized and everybody ran everything out and stole everything. Just, you know, there's certain things you can put on social media from a business standpoint or from a marketing standpoint, that's cool. Putting a lot of real, real personal stuff on there, probably not a good idea. So, just an idea. So, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the support you give us. Thank you for all the emails and all the feedback. You know, we get a lot of feedback on the order comments, too, when you guys place the order comments. So, we appreciate those as well. If you guys need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. The product of the week, the chelation therapy, is on sale for 10% off right now on the front page of the website. So, be sure to check that out today while it's still on sale, and be sure to vote for the other products of the week as well. So if you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.